So you just got back from it, right?
Yep, it's all fresh in my mind.
Got my...
This is going to be one of those...
got my dragon boots. Vitamin water?
There you go. For me, I'm just like... This one is like one of those ones where, like, I'm here, I'm doing a job, man. I didn't even pay for my ticket. Like, my I used a gift card I got for Christmas to pay for my ticket, and I think I'm glad I didn't spend money on this movie.
What movie are we talking about, Randy Keepers?
The movie we're talking about is Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania.
Ooh. Okay, so this is the Legendary Frogcast. I'm your host, Joseph Blanchett. With me is the MCU betrayer, the traitor.
Oh, hold up. I have been notorious on this podcast as a self-admitted shill, okay? I think 1 out of 20. How many of these movies have been made?
This is the 31st Marvel movie.
Yeah, 1 out of 31, man. I couldn't find enough things to like about it to be positive about it. Like,
that's not even the movies. That's not even counting the TV shows.
Oh, really? Yeah, no. Yeah. I have nicer things to say about Thor: The Dark World than this movie. I'm sorry. Maybe I am a traitor. I don't know, man. But I have some explaining to do, I imagine. So,
I'm curious because I walked out thinking this movie was a lot of fun.
See, that's the problem. Like, I don't think I liked it, but the thing is, there was stuff in it that I liked, like. It's hard to explain exactly where my, because there were some parts that I was like, ah ha ha, that's pretty funny, or ah ha ha, that was pretty good. But then there was other parts when I was just like, okay. And then I got to the mid credit scene and the post credit scene. And I'm like, okay. That was. You know what it is? I think that is what ended up souring me on this. Is how it ends and its place in this current phase of Marvel movies that we're in. I think that is ultimately, I watched a commercial. I watched an advertisement is what I feel like I did. I feel like I watched I paid money to see a movie. And I got the ending of Halo 2 is what happened. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, kind of when the MCU kind of falters, it's like, well, what was the point of that? Oh, it's because this other thing's going to happen in 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that it was... See, with the other movies, it was a little hint. A little taste of things, you know? When you saw Thanos be like all... Fine, I'll do it myself. It's like, oh, that's a portent of doom. Okay, cool. Now that, because I understand that there's a plot relevant item that was mentioned in the film, that was the plot relevant item. But we had a whole series about the plot relevant item in Loki. We had Loki. We didn't need this movie to do what Loki already did, you know, and we didn't need this movie to tell us that Loki season 2 and the Avengers Dynasty of Kang is coming, because we already knew that. And this movie was just it felt like it was more of a bunch of stuffing. And then it was like, oh, by the way, we're reminding you again that this is what the things with the MCU slate has going down the road. This is like our ticket to our commitment to the plan that we've already put together for you. And I don't know. It just felt like it cheapened it. It just doesn't feel like I'm getting a cohesive story anymore. I'm just getting advertised things now. And I know there are a lot of jaded people who are very cynical about Marvel movies nowadays, who made this assumption years and years and years ago, because, you know, crap, maybe they're right. But I just was like,
they're right all along.
But I just, because like there was fun stuff in it. Like, dude, I cannot tell you how often I uncontrollably giggle anytime I see MODOK. Anytime I see any MODOK in anything, I laugh. Not because I think it's stupid, but because I think MODOK is stupid. But I love him, you know? Like, hey, I love MODOK, but boy, does he make me laugh. And so thankfully,
MODOK. Do you think if you think this movie didn't have Kang in it, we had a more positive impression on it?
Maybe. Like, if Kang was a surprise, if I didn't know Kang was going to be the thing, it might have cushioned the blow. It might have. But I basically just got told something I already knew about. That and I have a better understanding of what's going on than the characters who are experiencing Kang in that moment in time, you know? And so, like, it's so weird to me that, like, I don't know. It was just my big problems with this thing is just, like, there were no surprises. There were absolutely none. There was nothing that wowed me in the movie. There was nothing that made me go, oh, implications. You know, I didn't have any of that. None of that happened for me. And like, I, you know, what's crazy is I really didn't watch that much stuff. I saw like the two trailers that came out and that was it. That was all. I didn't see any behind the scenes stuff. I didn't follow the production of the film. I didn't know Bill Murray was going to pop up. I didn't know that. There he was, but Bill Murray sucks. Like, I don't know, man. I just like MODOK was cool. Seeing Stature just, you know, be Stature was kind of cool. Seeing Scott Lang in more control of his being able to become a big boy, you know, is really cool. The creative things that they ended up doing with the growing and the shrinking, and then him explaining to Cassie what she's supposed to do when they're fighting people that are normal sized, and seeing her figure it out, yeah, that's adorable. I'm all right with that. The soft torch passing, I don't mind that at all. Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, like I do think the follow through of, you know, Scott's character throughout the series is like, you know, that this continues that just perfectly with like Cassie being grown up and wanting to be a hero on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Like she's like, you know, like Scott saying in his book, like, yeah, protect the little guy, but he's not really doing it. Not for like a bad or wrong reason. He just says like, yeah, I saved the world. Now I just want to, you know, spend time with my daughter. But, but she's like, no, it's like, you taught me to, you know, look out for the little guy and you won't let me do that. And mm-hmm. I do think there should have been a little bit more of that, like a little more conflict in the movie, but I think that gets across pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with that. That's
I like when Darren Cross gets shrunk down, he gets all misshapen, and becomes MODOK.
What's hilarious to me about Darren Cross is that he has now portrayed two characters he's not supposed to be. Like, he was Yellow Jacket, and now he's been MODOK. Those people weren't Darren Cross in the comics. But whatever, I'll be okay with it, because we got MODOK, and that's hilarious to me. You know, and again, I didn't mind MODOK. He was awkward. He was funny. He was smart. He was a pretty good MODOK. I liked him. You know,
it took me a little bit to figure out. Of course, MODOK looks stupid.
Oh like, yeah, he looks so goofy. He's so goofy.
Yeah, he's a giant head that's stretched out. He has little baby legs. But like, I was wondering, it's like, this is obviously a CG head, but why does it look weird? And I realized what it was. It's because his head doesn't move.
Yeah.
When people talk, they're like bobbing their head. They're making little subtle gestures, but he can't do that. He's a big head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's like, and after I got that, it's like, it's like horrible and brilliant at the same time.
they're both, and like that's one thing I won't knock. Like, okay, speaking of the visuals in the film, I will give credit where credit is due. There are some amazing shots in this movie. There are incredible special effects shots that happen in this film. It's all very abstract, and I think some of the things that I can say nice about this movie. Save it from me just passing it off as swill, you know, because it's, you know what, it to be fair, it's really not swill. It's just not, it's not special. It's not a lot of the parts are there. Like, there are a lot of moving parts in this Lego car, but none of them are making this car go. And like there's a lot of cool things, like introducing some of the people in the quantum realm, the subatomic level thing, you know, people like the telepath and the ooze, you know, drink the ooze, you know, that, like, that was goofy and fun, and I'm like, okay, cool, give me more of that. Like, I love that stuff. But then we had to go over and see what Janet was ruining the movie with. I could not stand Janet in this movie. Anytime there was a scene that happened that was Janet focused, I'm like, oh my god. Janet, just tell them. They just fought a prune man. They fought in an army against a prune man for some rocks. Mm-hmm. You can let them know about the interdimensional conqueror. You don't think the interdimensional conqueror was important enough to bring up? The one that you were apparently part of a freedom fighting force against? Dude. Come on.
There's kind of an obvious answer to that, is that they probably didn't know about it.
Yeah, well,
they did the last movie, they need a reason for her to not talk about it. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and she just, her just being super vague, and then the other thing that was really starting to annoy me is that, dude, we know who Krang is at this point. Kang is not Krang. I'm sorry, not Krang, another interdimensional conqueror, but Kang. We knew who he was. We knew what his name is. We know, like, but they're still playing the pronoun game with him. They're like, he's looking for you. We have to take you to him. And it's just like, dude, just say Kang.
It's not. I mean, we know it's Kang. But they never said it previously to this. And that's kind of
they didn't need to dance around it for so long. Like they were quicker to spill MODOK's acronym of a name before they were willing to say Kang. And so, like, I just any part of the convolution that they needed to make this particular plot happen, because Janet needed to know about something. And that she just couldn't talk about it, even though they were in the process of dealing with it. And, ooh, man, Janet and the ending of this film. Those are the big ones. Those are the major offenders. But you know what? I liked Cassie. She was fun, resourceful, and endearing. I didn't get bothered by Cassie at all. She was good. Hank, holy cow. Dude, I thought the past couple of movies with Hank, Michael Douglas was just phoning it in for a while. You know, I thought he was. Yeah, this is his best one. He did a great job. You know, and he was intrigued. He was a scientist. He was silly,
I just really like ants.
Yeah, and he's just like he didn't need to be weird about it. You know, he was just being funny, and I just, man, let Michael Douglas be funny. Let him be funny, Hank Pym, all the time. Please, I'll pay. I'll see that movie. Let me see it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got onto a rant that there were a lot of nonsensical things that just needed to happen for this movie to happen, and I'm like, okay, all right. Wow, your slug farm is doing pretty good there when you rescued Kang. And. And then how convenient it was that his mind-reading spaceship was able to mind-meld you his past. How convenient, you know? And I'm just, you know, there's a lot of conveniences happening where it's like, well, when Hank went to go rescue Janet, It's like, oh, we just knew which place to park to pick her up from, and totally missed the civilization that, you know, is visible in this.
Well, I actually just got like done watching like a Quantumania Easter egg video, and they reminded us that she gave them coordinates.
So, oh, that's right.
Yeah, okay. So it could like retroactively, she'd just be, I'm as far away as Kang as I can.
I can. You know what? Thank you for noting that.
It is kind of weird thing about the timey wiminess of it all, because like, when did the multiple Kangs thing start?
Mm-hmm.
Because they exist and don't exist at the same time.
Because
Loki ended with the multiverse happening, but it's kind of implied that the multiverse was already there because of what Loki did, you know. So it's kind of weird that way too, but you know, just roll with it. So I guess you didn't really like this movie.
I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it, you know? Like, it's just gonna sit in this weird place where if I go and I go to like do a some kind of marathon of the Marvel movies again, it's gonna be the one that I'm gonna be like, but I can't. I could skip it. I really could.
Now, if you think Loki didn't exist, did you if Loki the show didn't exist and it didn't like or like follow the, you know, the Kang plot line, do you think this movie would have been a little better because it actually introduces Kang?
I think so. Yeah. No, I do think so. If Loki came out after Quantumania, It would have done a better job for me, I think. But I'm not wholly sure now, because it's just so wild, you know? It's just so wild to me.
I mean, I actually liked how Kang in this movie was basically He Who Remains. He didn't form the TVA. He just went out there and started
conquering,
destroying timelines on his own.
Yeah. One other thing I did want to give credit this movie for, because you know I want to try to find all the things that I can to make this less of a grump festival for me. I liked how Kang was portrayed. I did like how he was very matter of fact, that he was methodical, and that it wasn't until things were literally coming down around him that he was having his villain breakdown, you know?
Yeah.
And like he
it's like this guy who controls ants is beating me.
Yeah. And like the thing is that he was scary. He could be scary. Like he was vaporizing people with without even a second thought. And you know, that's just crazy to me, you know?
I am really wondering how Kang is going to work as like the big Avengers villain. It's like the Thanos of this three-phase cycle. Because I don't know, it's like Thanos started in the middle of it. People's like, oh, he's in love with death. That's why he's gonna destroy. That's why he wants the Infinity Stones. But they ended up actually giving Thanos like really nuanced motivations. They gave him a lot of character. And I'm afraid Kang is just gonna be, I want to control all of time. That's only gonna be his only motivation. And to me, that's not very interesting.
I agree with that.
Well, even if this Kang is the enemy in Kang Dynasty, like, I'm not even sure. Mm-hmm. It's kind of confusing. Like, I'm sure we'll see this version of Kang again.
Because it's...
But, you know, like, big question of how. Like, I hope Kang is interesting, because, like, Jonathan Majors is this amazing actor.
And he's incredible. I love him,
and I hope they find the nuance of Thanos and bring it to Kang. Because you're right, like, in this movie, he was just, like... Well, it's a little confusing to me, too. Not confusing, but, like, in an Ant-Man story, the villain's, like, going on about, like, there are multiple me's, and they're going to destroy the timeline, and blah, blah, blah. That has nothing to do with the story of this movie. It's just there to say, like, this is what the future villain's going to do. And that's a weak part for me. Like, the overall story, good. Individual movie, it's like, well, really, he's just a guy who wants to control the quantum realm and then get big again so he can take over the world, like, the big world. That's basically what he's doing in, like, in this movie sense. But they kind of had to use a lot of plot time to explain that there's, like, multiple dimensions and timelines and all that stuff, and I felt it kind of ate up time that could have been used in other places.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was Kang.
Yeah, and I just anyway, but yeah, and again, I don't hate the movie. There's just a lot of things I can complain about for it, and I
mean, ultimately, I walked away with, like, this is kind of just as good as the other Ant-Man movies, like, in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I do have some complaints about it, but, like, I liked how it was kind of like this. There's not a lot of just, like, sci-fi action movies in the MCU, you know, where they have just, you know, wars between an empire versus the little guy fighting back. Like, there's not a lot of that in the MCU, and I liked how this was kind of like that. And it continued the Ant-Man characters really well. Cassie calls Hank Grandpa.
Yeah.
How he secretly built her a suit.
Yeah.
That doesn't know about. I don't know. Kang is the best, like, a really strong part, but also kind of a weakness, like I said.
Yeah.
Because of what he is in to the larger MCU. I'm not going to say it felt forced, but it, like, kind of drew attention away from the movie because it set the focus on, like, what comes next kind of a little bit too much.
Yeah. And it just, like, it didn't feel like it wanted to just be its own movie. It felt like it was an advertisement. And I'm just like, guys, you know, like, you've known better. You guys have dominated cinemas for over a decade. You did a good job at tricking me into, you know, continuing to be a shill for it. But then this is just like, well, boy, it sure is egregious this time.
Yeah, they haven't had this much. I mean, Iron Man 2 gets accused of, you know, being a setup for Avengers a little bit too much. In this, I don't know, I guess, like, technically this is kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even more so, like...
Yeah.
I just feel like the, I don't know. I don't want to get pessimistic about this, man. I really don't. I don't want to be the guy who's like, oh, well, of course, because they just need to string us along. Like, they're doing what Warner Brothers has been doing, you know, or what Warner Brothers tried to do. That's what this was. I think that, you know what? I think that might be a lot more of why I'm a little frustrated with it, is that this is something that got pulled out of the pocket of Warner Brothers, you know, while they're trying to play catch up with Justice League and you know, but who knows? We'll see.
Well, like you said, one movie that you thought
one out,
dropped the
one
ball.
Yeah, one out of 31. Look, man, I even like the ones that everybody hates. I like Ms. Marvel. I like Captain Marvel. I like those ones that the other people don't like. That's me. I like She-Hulk. I like She-Hulk.
We all like She-Hulk. All sane people like She-Hulk.
Only sane people like She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, these movies work the best when they do their self-contained thing.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever comes next is only like a post-credit scene or little hints.
Yes, yes. Like Adam Warlock being teased at the end of Guardians 2, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're getting him, you know? That makes me happy, you know?
Well, that one actually worked pretty well because, like the Sovereign kind of had their role in that movie. And mm-hmm. I don't know how much they're going to be in the third movie because they've mostly shown off like that animal planet.
Yeah.
Place.
Half world.
But I kind of trust like James Gunn about what he's like, what he puts in his movies.
Yeah. Samesies.
So he seems to have a lot of control over this one, especially. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done differently. Like, I think they definitely wanted Kang to show up in a movie because not everyone's going to watch the TV show.
And I was going to say, I don't think this movie needed to be made. Like, I don't think this movie needed to be made. I don't think it needed to happen. But it's still visually fun, and I guess we do have a little better idea of what kind of a person Kang is. But even still, you know, we didn't really get to find out that much about Thanos until his main movie, which is the first Infinity War, you know?
Yeah.
And they did a great job with him, you know? We could have had that, but no, we had to have a lot of obscurity going on, man. And anyway, but that, you know, what's terrible is I don't know. I don't have a lot more to say about it. like, the ending was kind of funny though, where he's thinking to himself with his internal monologue. And he's like, oh wait, I might have done a big old goof, you know. But even still, you know, it's I just a lot of more to come with this one, and it's all more to come.
This might be a case where once King Dynasty comes out, and the other movies, where you might look back in this. In this one and kind of appreciate it a little more in like mm-hmm. retroactively. Kind of like you kind of look back at Dark World now a little differently, at least I do because of Endgame. And like a few of those other ones. Did you ever end up seeing Wakanda Forever?
I still haven't because I keep forgetting that it's available and I'm stupid. It is on Disney Plus, and I can, you know what, I probably should watch it like tonight or something. I don't know. It's
that's the only MCU one you've missed, right?
That is the only MCU film that I have. It's the only MCU film I have not seen yet, and it's the only one that it's one of two that I didn't see in theaters, and
you didn't see Black Widow, right?
Didn't see Black Widow.
Have you seen Black Widow, or just not in theater?
I saw it. Yeah, I seen it. And it was okay.
It wasn't bad.
I was upset about Taskmaster, but
Well, thank you for joining us for our Randy doesn't like Kang
Whoa, hold up, in this movie.
Joey.
Yeah, well, there's a lot I don't like about this movie, but there were some spots in it that I, like I said, you know, this movie is far from swill, you know, it is, but it's just not at the quality that I have grown accustomed to with my Marvel superhero films.
I don't know. I kind of put it on the same level as, like Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Kind of, yeah. Maybe even a little more, to be honest, because I think Multiverse of Madness is a cool movie that does Wanda dirty. I think Doctor Strange was like one of those COVID movies that kind of, like, the production was weird. This movie was filmed around the same time. Wouldn't be surprised if, like, reshoots were harder to do, you know, things like that. So. Yeah, it's like, I think the MCU is, like, I don't know, not as strong, definitely, as it was a few years ago.
No, like, yeah, I agree with that. It pains me to say that, but yeah.
Yeah, like the Phase 2, Phase 3 were some of my favorite movies, like, ever made in, like, the genre.
Yeah.
And, of course, Infinity War and Endgame were really good. And, like, I would say that the only two movies I really loved in Phase 4 were Shang-Chi and Far From Home. The other movies I had were either just okay or I thought were like kind of really flawed in a way that probably shouldn't have happened. Like Multiverse Madness, like I said, fun movie. I thought it didn't do Wanda justice. Love and Thunder, I kind of warmed up to a little bit, but I know that's been really divisive for fans.
Oh yeah, it has been.
Yeah, and Wakanda Forever was also really good. So I would put that in the good thing too, but it's not without its issues, I think, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah,
I think they said they're going to change this. Just the fact they have so much TV going on too, I think, is taking away from the specialness of it all in some ways. Because I think I mentioned it before, even though I loved Moon Knight, I don't think it has to exist. Like, hopefully they make use of that character later on, but, you know, who knows at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, She-Hulk, it's kind of the same way, but it definitely fills a niche. Like, we haven't had a show like that in, like, a superhero legal drama. And that seems so, you know, at least it's unique in that sense. But, okay, yeah. So, Ant-Man, Wasp, Quantumania. I guess, kind of see for yourself, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I guess build your own opinion, you know. It's like, if you want to listen to a review of it and get your own opinion, I wouldn't say avoid this movie. Like, it's not like the first Suicide Squad movie, you know. It's not like Justice League when it came out, you know.
I definitely came out of it saying that was a lot of fun. I love the Ant-Man characters. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, wasn't amazing, but it was, you know, like a good time. I was kind of like I thought Kang was good, but overcomplicated for a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I like to see Scott Lang grow big and punch things.
Yeah, big, so. That slow mo shot where Cassie punches MODOK in the face.
Yeah,
see, it's never too late to not be a dick.
See, I think when you watch it again, Focus on that stuff.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because and like
I
that's
because there was like I said, you're right, and there are some. How many holes do you have?
He's like, just thinks for a minute. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, like there were fun moments. Thank you, Spider-Man.
At the end, he's like, "Oh, you're Bug-Man, not Spider-Man."
Yeah, $12.
$12 for you.
Okay. See, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. See,
hate it. Oh, in fact, you might have loved it. Okay, maybe I don't love it.
No. I still felt way too advertisement-y about it. It was just too. It was egregious to me. Well, it was egregious even for me, where it was just like. But did we really need that? Did we really, really need a sneak preview of Loki season 2?
I mean, that's fine, I think. I mean,
I get to see Loki season 2. So, yeah, you're right. I guess I can't complain too much because I am really looking forward to that show.
Yeah, it was definitely... I didn't love the mid-credits scene where you see, like, all the Kangs.
Like,
I was... Just like, how are they going to do this in a movie? Like, there's like an Egyptian guy. There's a guy in bad blue makeup that doesn't look very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it looked cheap. Like, ultimately, like, I was Immortus, I think I heard his name was. Like, I didn't think he looked very good.
Mm-hmm. It just. Anyway.
And, I mean. If you want to have some good news, the writer of this movie is the head writer on the Kang Dynasty.
Oh,
yeah. If you want to, get your hopes up.
No, I am gonna think about things that make me happy, like the Metroid Prime remake.
Yeah, that's pretty good. How about the fact that I pre-ordered that the very like as soon as I could. And it's not coming to me till the end of March.
Yeah,
because I wanted the physical copy.
Yeah, I bought it. I bought it digitally, like as soon as I could.
Yeah, I just wanted something physical. But now I have to wait a month. Maybe we'll show up at the store and just buy it there. Metroid's good though. Only $40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a lot better than what Skyward Sword was doing. Like, what the crap? Anyway.
Yeah, that was just an up-res for 60.
Right? Well, anywho.
Right, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Randy, for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me, even though I was a sour grape the whole time. Yeah,
you brought down...
the whole mood.
Kind of brought down the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to shill the MCU to recommend it, even though when the movies aren't very good, you know, we still recommend them. So give Disney the sweet, 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 sweet bucks.
Yeah, they pay me so much money to say nice things about their stuff, you guys. You have no idea.
And now, I don't know what to do. Going to get that phone call saying, hey, man, hashtag Quantumania.
Yeah, and I'll be like, okay.
a new dynasty begins. And I'll be like, yeah, I know. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried. The other MCU shill wasn't available.
I know. It just wasn't there. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Like, only one man.
This is a team effort to do the shilling properly, okay?
Yeah. I did like it though. And I think you will too when you revisit it and focus, like I said, focus on
the things that make me laugh.
Yeah, things that make you laugh, make you happy.
Yeah. All
right. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And see you next time.
Until next time.
When is next time? When's the next MCU show coming out? Oh, it is because it's a secret war. It's not secret invasion, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't given a date on that. Anyway, that's when we'll be back. All right, bye everyone.
Joy, you're the best.
Okay, we're done.